Okay, so welcome to part two. And I'm afraid I've been going a little bit over time. And as Moshe pointed out, we were planning on doing two separate shiurim, really, one for the Parsha Zohar, where I could concentrate on the Parsha Zohar issues. The other one was getting into the ideas of the Mishkan, and the, not the ideas of the Mishkan, but the basic ideas of Bereshis, which we call the key idea series, where we could go into more deeply the question of the structures of here. But basically, here's what we've come out with, and I want to be able to finish it up very quickly and very, very pinpoint the issues of the mitzvah, because that's what we're looking at over here. What exactly is the mitzvah? So here's what I want to point out. What we've come out with, what we've noticed over here, is that essentially, Ma'aseh Bereishis seems to consist of two completely different approaches, going all the way back to Reishis, taking the nature of Hora all the way back to Reishis. Because we have a Reishis HaMalek, we have a Reishis Yisrael, we have Sifrei Shel Bilam, we have Sifrei Shel Moshe, we have Vayikar, that needs to be part of the Vayikra, we have the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship specifically to things in terms of Rega, which is a fundamental anhoga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Bilam had discovered, and we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreeing to Zichorna Ami, Maya Atz Bilam. So that Zechira itself somehow or other provides an alternative to that. We have the Lo Kam B'Yisrael K'Moshe, up in B'Umais Kam. What all of this points to is the explanation of what the nature of the Melchemes Hashem L'Amalek Dor Dor implies. What it implies is an astonishing thing, that the nature of the development of things at the end is a function of their involvement in that process, which is the nature of Tzivyona. Which means that the evolution of Yisrael versus Amalek is, in fact, an evolutionary process. If you'll notice, every single time that we have a tzivui of Mechias Amalek, it's always strictly limited. Moshe and Yeshua only have a right to destroy what is in front of them then, Machar. Shaul is given a specific job, Michavila Achur. Immediately afterwards, David Amalek is already struggling with Amalek and Siklag and so on. There was no concept, even after they destroyed Amalek, that they were really going out to destroy all of Amalek. The idea of Midor Dor means Midor Dor. We have to allow Amalek to survive Midor Dor, because what we're talking about is an evolutionary process. Evolutionary processes are war. That's what they are. The driving elements of them are the alternatives, which we have, in the end, something that comes out on top, based on that which didn't come out on top, which is, of course, the keri and the kriya that have to be the same word. The measurement of that war is obviously going to be, by definition, you would have figured this out yourself. Even if the Torah never told you that it's Mecham L'Hashem L'Amalek B'Dor Dor Inak Kisei Sholem, you would have understood that, by definition, that's the meaning of Inak Kisei Sholem. Because once you recognize that what that is saying, Midor Dor, and Dor Dor is very specific, generation are reproductive events. Midor Dor especially and uniquely is describing a process which can only be completed with the Kisei Shalem at the end of the Dor Dor, which means that in exactly the same way that we talk about Tzivyonam as meaning that every particular min is literally involved in its own evolution. That's the amazing part of it, is that only recently has been nisgala, that this is not metaphorical, what the Gemara is saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks how it is that you want to be. It is literally true, in that whatever the approach is of the mentality of that organism, in terms of, this is what I'm attracted to, then that becomes insanely and nuttily driven by evolutionary processes into the most extravagant and insane expressions, whether you're talking about antlers, whether you're talking about peacocks that are dragging around feathers along the ground, or you're talking about the immense energy that's invested by a bowerbird into building a home that's never going to be used, into discovering the nature of perspective to make it look bigger, which humans didn't discover until very recently, into all of the incredible dances and wild courtship behaviors, which are immensely energy involved, complete waste, do absolutely nothing, and are only there to impress a female because this is what she likes. It does not seem to have anything to do with his survival capabilities. It's a direct driven because this is what we like. This is to us beautiful. The wild excitement at these things. Yes, Tzivyonim is the ultimate chiba. That's the point. The interrelationship of the organism with its own place in the universe is the deepest expression of chiba. The joy of an organism at being itself. The ability of a bird to do all kinds of insane acrobatics for no reason whatsoever, except to have fun. The crazy, total giving over one's life to copulation in these wild and wild dances and joyful expressions of what it is that I'm trying to attach to. This is itself an expression of the ultimate chiba. In terms of Adam, Adam chooses himself. The development of a brain that ultimately is built around fundamental structures so that it can insanely, but really insanely, in terms of the development of a brain that is meant for survival purposes and which specifically is built on the simplest level to ignore such issues that can hurt your survival, such as awareness of statistical issues and so on, because that's all you need to start getting involved in when you need to run away from a predator or to store food or to compete. And yet, the amazing fact that we can conceive of these completely abstracted structures that end up defining the nature of physics, nobody has ever figured out. How is that possible? In the end, the fundamental evolutionary questions become the directions that you want to go. Humanity has two separate directions. One of them is the direction of achieving oneself in the process of evolution such that you are deeply experiencing the being part of the process, and that is your most profound joy and reward, literally reward, brain reward, not just schar la'olam haba, but the hashlama of yourself as being part of a universe is what you are rewarded by. The alternative is the reward of finding my own way in a way that I can ad hoc achieve and does not require me to be part of anything. These are so fundamentally different that what happens is that the different rishis actually have different acharits. One of them is a rishis that creates a very profound integrated, constructed whole, which is part of the way that I experience my own being and therefore has an acharit by definition. The other is one that has no acharit because it wants no acharit, and its struggle is to be able to understand and be sholeit on its roots. The reason that every single time there's a Beis HaMikdash, there's a problem with Amalek, is what the Rambam is saying. They're always lying in wait. Meaning what? Let's take, for example, one of the most astonishing expressions of this, which is the interrelationship with Bilam, who's Rabbo Shel Amalek, and its connection to Shaul, which is crazy. Remember that we had the pasuk that we mentioned earlier. Kol shochevim behima mot yumat, mechashefa lo techayeh, kol shochevim behima mot yumat. What? And as we've pointed out many times, the only practical time that these two issues came together was Bilam ben Beor, who was the mechashef. So Bilam ben Beor sleeps with animals, and he's a mechashef. What in the world does that have to do with anything? Amazingly, it turns out that in terms of human evolution, it has everything to do with everything. Because it turns out that the nature of the belief that you can make things happen is essentially a sophisticated magical thinking. And magic is the nature of Kishuv. Not seeing yourself as embedded in a particular structured reality that has results that are part of what was put in is the deepest magical thinking. It allows you to believe anything. It allows you to provide ad hoc experiences and ad hoc explanations for anything. And because of that, in the end, it is the destruction of all of the nature of integration. The first deep change that was made in the species, which people don't recognize. They just think that it's some type of slow mental development. To become a species that is capable of non-magical thinking by choice, and to recognize that your entire development will require a species-wide connection that allows you to tear apart all elements of magical thinking is the end of Aveda Zara. It doesn't allow for religion. It doesn't allow for reading ins. It doesn't allow for secondary explanations. It is a level of reality that is mind-bogglingly beyond what humanity used to be. A species of different religions. Obviously, it still is that way when you're talking about the apes of humanity. But when you're talking about the development overall of what comes out of that humanity, that's a major change. When Shaul is told by Shmuel, he says, well, I saved it for Karbonis. Isn't that okay? That's exactly the reference to this parsha. If it's Karbonis, then by definition, it's Kriya. Says Shmuel to him the craziest statement, Ki chatat kesem, Mary. You might as well be doing magic. Magic, have to understand. He could have said, Ki chatat Shabbos, Mary. Ki chatat Akum, Mary. Kichatat Shatnez, Mary. What is this Kichatat Kesem, Mary? The point that he's making, Shmuel, is that these ad hoc explanations are the opposite of Kriya. Because if there's a nature to reality, then Halo Shmoa Mizevach Tov. There's something here that was meant to be related to, not because you want it that way. Mibikezot Miatchem, idiots. To take advantage of what it is that I give you as an option in certain unique circumstances. The whole thing is magical thinking. Like all religious thinking is magical thinking. It is so recent that humanity discovered that that type of thinking is subhuman. Essentially subhuman. It was at that point that there was a fundamental difference between how Amalek would handle non-magical thinking and how Yisrael handles non-magical thinking. The essence of Torah is peer review. The essence of Torah is Hayroah. The essence of Torah is finding out the way in which it's possible to be mischaber to the universe as a whole through non-magical thinking. The question is, where do we take the non-magical thinking in terms of Amalek, which is the entire expression of Western civilization? Where we take it as Rome, where we take it as Aesop, is we take it as a way that we can understand beginnings that then enable us to do whatever we want with the ends. So that the end result is that the non-magical thinking becomes even worse in terms of your relationship to reality than the magical thinking. Why? Because the fundamental direction that you want to grow in and the thing that is beautiful to you is the ability, essentially, to be sholeach yah, to do what you want. And that's the point of achrito adi oved. Every time there's a new development, what's the next development? So now you have a picture of a structure of reality, and then you are totally devastated to discover in the 20th century that everything is basically statistical. That's mikra. That next event was Purim. Exactly. That's what Purim needed Yisrael to appreciate and to understand how to deal with that. What does Yisrael do with it? Makes it a deeper way in which the anonymity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Einstein put it, gives more of a room for the input of the Kriya of the Ben Adam to be responsive to the nature of the uniqueness of the Yichud at the beginning of creation. That to us is the Akris, the latest Akris of the initial simple vision that we had. Yes, came out of Mitzrayim, God has a way of living, all of this is natural, the world's a simple place, do this, everything will work, medieval pictures of little worlds held within bigger worlds and wheels within wheels and all kinds of stuff like that, which becomes our Kabbalistic vision, because that's as far as you can go. When you get beyond that, at every time you are threatened by Amalek, it's waiting for you. You have an enlightenment. Enlightenment obviously means we were wrong all along. The way to go is to join up with Amalek. At each stage that you can have another incredible burst forward into recognizing the Akris that comes from Rashis, you have an Ariva. That is an actual war in the sense of a competitive war that leads every species to becoming what it can become. Yisrael is a species. The war that it has is competition. The competition that it has is with a different form of Reishis, a different form of humanity, which is called Amalek. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu relate to that form? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that form is highly informed about beginnings. And therefore, the fact that everything is open-ended is perfectly okay to relate to the anonymous God. And they relate beautifully to the anonymous God. Even Einstein relates beautifully to the anonymous God. He's their altar. That's all. That stands behind everything, and that therefore I can do anything I want with. So of course, if I create, I am looking for a species that becomes aware, and I am looking for a species that is in a profound competition for ending up working out what this world is going to be like. That's the Milchama L'Hashem Vamalek. I can't do any of it on my own because it's an evolutionary process. Your Zechira is the modality of your competition. We arrive now at the time of building the third Beit HaMikdash, and nobody even realizes that we are in a profound battle for literal existence, a competition of the most simple Darwinian kind, over the issue of Amalek and only the issue of Amalek. Why? Because the next stage that needs to be evolved in terms of these two approaches to Reishis is exactly the next stage that needed to be evolved after the giving of the Torah, and that is Mishpatim. Mishpatim is the social contract. The social construction of Bnei Adam is not something that is external and additive to what it means to be human. It is part of being a social species that can only survive by the most complex, incredibly detailed complex structures that allow it to be able to space travel, to be able to communicate instantly at all times, to be able to be aware of everything that is going on everywhere at all times, and so on. That's part of what it takes to be human. That humanity is currently in a massive struggle for the nature of that social structure. If we follow the path of Amalek, and this is the reason why now it's become so shockingly evident that something is wrong. And it took a very long time. It's only about 5 to 10 years that people even became aware of the fact that something horrifying is going on. So everyone now understands that there seems to be a general tendency for collapse based around the fact that everything is ad hoc. And that the only thing that I will fight with profound and irrational hatred, Sina. It's not that I'm just an enemy. I hate it. The only thing that I will fight as a liberal is the fact that someone should believe something is an absolute. The only absolute is the fact that liberalism is the only truth. And it's an incredible thing how it's eating away at the root of the social contract. And it means that I can only think in certain ways. I can only invest in certain ways. I can only construct economies, construct the ways in which we talk to each other, the ways in which we employ each other, the ways in which we copulate with each other, the ways in which we date each other. All has to be defined by ad hoc ideas that nobody ever heard of before, but that suddenly are so powerful that you can't even discuss them because they are the nature of reality. This is a shocking thing. And people feel completely helpless. What do I do? If I even try talking about it, then I immediately destroy myself. But if I don't talk about it, then I'm going along with it. And so on and so on. It's an amazing situation. And where it's led to is literally the breakup of the government of the United States, leading rapidly to the breakup of Britain. Europe is completely gone. And what you're looking at, anybody with any brains, is looking at a world in which the nature of civilization as we know it, and therefore the structures that are built on that civilization of such complexity and that require expertise and that require an understanding of others' expertise and so on, are so endangered that right now all of our friends here from South Africa cannot get on the internet because there's no electricity. It's exactly these issues. Why is there no electricity? Because you can't have people who understand how to maintain electricity in charge in a country when black is beautiful and that's the only thing that can be taken into consideration in terms of your expertise. If you're black, you're an expert. And so on and so forth. All aspects that get changed overnight into a completely new way of living undermine the fundamentals of what allow the entire society that put them into place to survive. The way that this is being used is in one direction only, to destroy the competition, namely, Reishis, namely, all of the nations get together exactly as the first Rashi in the Torah says, and everybody laughed at for years. How are all of the nations of the world going to get together and pass resolutions saying you are Ganavim? Come on. That's ridiculous. And unbelievably, it turns out in the space of two generations that everybody discovers, oh my God, all the nations of the world got together and they built a corporation called the Nations of the World. And the Nations of the World company does one thing and only one thing. Jews are rotten. They have no right to Eretz Yisrael. To repeat 396 times a year in every different possible way, Jews are rotten and have no right to Eretz Yisrael. But that's what Rashi said they would say. How could anybody have predicted such an insane thing? Because the nature of Rashi's is exactly this evolutionary process. They are waiting for you, says the Rambam. And not only are they waiting for you, you think they are just the fine opposition. Oh no, they hate your guts. Because they hate what you are. You are an intrusive species. You are threatening their survival. This is not about a genteel discussion of ideas of which party you belong to. It means you are evil if you are Trump. It means you are evil if you are Jewish. Evil. You need to be destroyed. This is the Sina that you must be aware of. And separately, you must be aware of the fact that they are always there in wait. And that's true on a personal level as well. The questions of the doubts, and that's the issue of the of Safek, the Gematria of Amalek. The issue of doubt is where it is that the entertainment of these things and believing that they are things worth entertaining because at least that way I can be as open and as honest and as kind and as liberal and as smiley and hear your pain as they supposedly are, in which in reality all of their profession of chiba and concern is completely hate, as the Gemara says, and is exposed as being a grinning skeleton of a vampire when they finally show their true colors. All of that, if there is a moment of suffix in your life in which you don't understand that you are at war, that you are fighting not only for your own mental survival in the sense of what it is that keeps you the human being that you want to be, which is the joy that that bowerbird has in the insane, wild expression that it has at the moment of its dance and copulation. It's exactly that same pleasure. It's knowing that this whole world is mine, that every last bit of it was the chiba that I experience and know that I am part of, and that these people want to cool off because it's dangerous, because it means that there is something that is fundamentally real and doesn't allow me to be the human being that has his life in his hands, all my own, that I want. I willingly take Achrito Adioved. I know it's Adioved. You think that Europe doesn't know that it's committed suicide? It knows and it's happy. This is the greatest riot as to our godless. That for the purposes of our belief system, we have been meiser nefesh to destroy everything that ever was that was ours. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing. But these are the subconscious workings of minds that otherwise can't possibly be understood. You need to see it from their point of view. So to the extent that a Ben Yisrael recognizes that the war is not some kind of major battle, the war is an ongoing daily zechira, and that's what the Rambam is saying. Lizkar tamid, a constant basal awareness that the things that you do in life are a battle for survival. There's no such thing as ba'atzaltai nimacha mekare. The very fact that you would be lazy is an indication that you have lost your belief that all of these moments make a difference. And that's the whole point of Purim. Miyudin lo'yit kasoti gat l'malchut. All of the evolution of the universe can mean this moment. And in the extent that you are embedded in that joy and in that electricity of the constant freshness, newness, the new things that are coming your way, the new experiences of what it is to be alive, the unbelievable freshness of a world that expresses a million new points about itself every day that used to take 100 years to learn one of them every single day. To lose out on that and say, well, that's an article I could do without. I'm too tired. I don't care. There's no such thing as I don't care. And that's exactly what the godless of Yisrael always was in terms of Torah. You're surrounded by Torah. So what do I need this new piece? What are you talking about? It's like fish jumping for the rain. It's exactly like that. That is the way in which Yisrael evolves, creates itself. And that's why the Milchama Hashem Ba'Amalek is Midor Dor, because the Kisei can only be Shalem when the development of Reishis is Shalem. When we got to the point of the Mishkan, that was one of those moments. Up until now, we could learn to get along with a life where we thought that Mikra was acceptable and that indeed Kriya was a rare event. Says Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if there's going to be a Mishkan, there's no more room for that. You can't go crawling out at night to some whore because that's an alternative. It's not an alternative anymore. You have humans that have evolved to the point that they're aware of this and they can discuss it with you and speak in Divrei Torah and have the joy of thinking your thoughts and be so completely involved in the love of those thoughts that they'll do anything for another taste. How can you spend time with that alternative? It's off limits now. And it was true. That was the first stage. The very first stage, the way the Zohar understands it. Hayesh Hashem Birkibenu Imai was, in a sense, the most primal stage of all. Because the way the Zohar understands it is the Chiba of Bereshis a function of God's assertion? Or is it the nature of ayin? Hayesh Hashem Birkibenu im ayin. Is it what we think is non-being that is so fundamentally motzoi rishon that it has no essence and no distinctions? Is there that chiba in some different sense that is part of the nature of being? Or is it artificially the way that God puts things into the world to make them this way? Says the Zohar, well, that's an amazingly sophisticated and real question. Why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry? Says the Zohar, the most amazing answer. How the heck could you separate those two things? How did you not realize that in asking that question, you've created the most profound dichotomy between the nature of existence and the way the world is? What could be more evil than that? That is Amalek. That was the first stage. An attack on the fundamental nature of the connectedness of meaning to existence. Every stage since then was in terms of the development of the species. And the current engagement, who would have believed just 20 years ago, when the essence of the development of man was the discovery of truth, the certain facts, the learning more and more about the way the world is. Who would have believed that in terms of the social contract, we could have gotten to a point where people would say that facts are meaningless? We are post-fact. Truth is meaningless. We are post-truth. We are now on such a madriga of deconstruction that the very word fact and truth is nonsensical. That is an amazing level of evolution, which requires fighting with everything that you have in your own life of Zechira, a completely different notion of Zechira, not an artificial connectedness of things because they happened to connect, but of recognizing within yourself that every fiber of your being is an expression of Chiba. Your Chiba, the Chiba of the world for you, and the presence of the Mekareh that is the source of that Chiba, because it's part of the way that you experience being itself. And so therefore, when the incredible description of the Eben Ezra, at the moment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu those luchos, Vayiten el Moshe shnei luchot, after 40 days, and I've read this to you, I put it into the introduction of the frameworks and Devarim, that a person, stupid people, people with no brains, is the way he puts it. Ray came off. Their brains have been emptied from their skulls. Ask stupid questions like, what can you do for 40 days on Har Sinai? When Moshe Rabbeinu, after 40 years of learning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, you started to show me something. I just began understanding. But the biggest thing of all that the Ebenezer says is that if you don't know that the nature of all things is to know yourself, then what is the point of anything? You don't understand anything. Lo yuchal ladat Hashem, im lo yeda nafsho, im lo yeda nishmato, lo yeda gufo, ki mi shelo yeda mahut nafsho, has no connection to any of this. Chachma amalo, understand what you're talking to, apes. That process of growth, and the way that Zohar relates to that process, is the only way to approach Purim and to be able to fully appreciate, or at least to begin to really appreciate, what that challenge was that is so much part of the modern world. How to maintain the fantastic, deeper connection that God's anonymity grants us to be ourselves in our own Kriya, in the presence of His Kriya. Mi kamoni kore. And that any failure in that is v'lo oti karata Yaakov. All of that is the Haftorah that was meant to be read in Parshas Vayikra, if it hadn't been for the Kichatas Kesem Mary, and the idea that Karbonis could be used as an excuse for the survival of Amalek. The Rabbosai, these are real, actual war battles that are fought constantly all around the world, every single day, and attack you in the insides of your mind, which is where the roots of Amalek hang out and are part of the literal development of the species and require of you at least the same kind of effort that that bowerbird makes to copulate with the universe, because that's what this Torah is all about. So that's our Parsha Zohar. Hopefully we'll be zeicha to have a Purim that can build on that and can understand more. Thank you so much for coming. Is there something you think I should say? You're looking, as usual, disappointed. What of the notes have I forgotten? After every shiur, Moshe says, but you skipped this and this and this and this and this. Maybe we should have another shiur. So what did I skip this time?
I don't know, I think there's a way that when Rabbi was talking about it with me, Rabbi was saying that there was a change in the avoda of Purim, even in terms of the experience, as opposed to it being a historical thing, then for it to be like that the avoda of the Mishnah Nichnas Adar, as opposed to of, that part of the binyan is the learning to celebrate these things as part of your own growing in that issue. It's just connecting those.
Moshe believes I haven't fully brought out what I said I would bring out at the beginning, which is the way that the Mishnah Nichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha is this simcha of the incredible sense that you have of being involved in this universe on that level of chima, and which is itself the mocker of the Mishkan, not a result of the Mishkan. It's the mocker of the Mishkan, which is part of the nature of human development, as Moshe Rabbeinu has pointed out. I believe I did make that clear, but just in case, I am quoting Moshe so that we will all understand it doubly clear. Barry's iPhone raised its hand. My gosh, your iPhone has a hand. Speak to us, oh Barry.
I was just on that point. I was wondering if the failure of the month of Av, which is a failure of Ashrei Adam Mafakeh Kumi, which is a declaring when Rav Zacharia basically declared a premature afris that the essence of the Ashrei, the Simcha, then of the month of Adar and Purim, would be that Tamid, which is to always be at war, to always be pushing the limits of
searching. Relating the Mafakeh Tamid.
Adar is the Nafakefu of Av.
Excellent. Very nice. Beautiful. Thank you. Wonderful addition. Yes.
Possible that also leads to the feelings of disappointment that many people feel during Purim, or that when they see people getting drunk on Purim and this kind of way of the where the where it's like a celebration of the loss of Ashrei Demofachi Adami, where they view the Adelaya as being.
Okay, this is what we talk about on Purim Roof. I think we've had enough. It's late, and we'll talk about it then. Yeah, there's endless details, I'm sure. Okay, thank you again, everybody. Thank you for your input, and keep me on my toes. Ashrei Demofachi Adami. Very good. Hari's got a very, very dangerous look on his face. But hopefully we're okay. He hasn't gotten the latest Skype, so he can't jump through, I assume. I hope. Uh-oh. Light it up.